And this is part 7 of our podcast series, Native Nevada. Today, we look at the history and the current status of the LGBTQ community among Nevada's indigenous tribes.
I'm extremely indigenous, and I'm queer.
Always be proud of yourself and ignore bullies. They're around every corner.
Here are your people. Here are our people. And why are you not there for them? And what can you do to be better?
In my language, my positionality is one who is constantly transforming and changing.
My mom always told me one day they'll shake your hand. One day you'll be somebody.
This is Native Nevada, KNPR's podcast about the indigenous peoples of the region now known as the U.S. state of Nevada. I'm your host, Richard Boland. Today, you'll hear about a group of people who are often erased from history due to colonization and Christianity. But they are integral members to any community, our LGBTQ+ and Two-Spirit relatives.
Hi, my name is Randy Burns. I'm an enrolled member of the Pyramid Lake Paiute tribe. On my mom's side, my dad's side is from Fort Bidwell Indian Community, Kitikata, and I'm also from Pyramid, Kwikwetikata. I was born here in Reno, and I live in the Bay Area. In 1987, when Spirit in the Flesh, done by an anthropologist, and he's non-native, and in that book, he said, all the original, real, well, say Two-Spirit, are all dead. They died in 1928. And we're all laughing because he was on TV, was in quoted in the Chronicle and the Oakland Tribune saying that we're all Indian gay people are dead. Well, I said, wait a minute, I'm sorry, something's wrong with the picture.
Randy was raised in Modoc County, California, before moving to his grandfather's ranch, located 30 miles outside of Pyramid Lake, Nevada. Unfortunately, as is common among many LGBTQ+ students, Randy experienced hardships and harsh bullying while attending school. But with the help of his family, he persevered in his education.
Getting on the bus, I sat behind the school bus driver because immediately I was labeled not as sissy, faggot, not those terms, but I was a white man, Taibo, to my own people, even though, you know, we had history with Pyramid Lake family-wise. So the Indian boys just walked by me and put tacks under my seat in school, and in the hallway they would sucker punch me. So I would run from room to room for the next class. You know, my memories of going to school, when I transferred, to UNR to SF State, and I got involved with student government, I got involved with student organizing, the Native students. Then in 75, we started Gay American Indians. There were plenty of lesbian gay Indian artists in the basement, as silk screener, as muralists, as print makers, as photographers, as writers. So it was all there. And 75, we went after they got off work, they said, let's all meet in the Castro.
San Francisco's Castro District has been home to the LGBTQ community for nearly 5 decades. The city by the bay has a history as a place where anything goes, opening its golden gate to a world of diverse culture, viewpoints, and sexual orientation.
And we closed the bar down and we created the idea of starting our own Gay American Indian Club. We had 5, then it got to 10, then it got to 20, then it got to 50, 100, 150, 200. In our heyday, we reached 1,000 members of LGBT Two-Spirit people. Back then, that was not the term we used. It was lesbian or gay. Then that has changed to Two-Spirit.
Unknown to many, the term Two-Spirit or Two-Spirited refers to and identifies Native American and First Nation LGBTQ plus individuals with traditional and cultural understandings of gender roles and identity. The contemporary use of the term Two-Spirit dates back to the early 1990s, a time when colonized peoples were challenging ideas imposed on them by settlers, such as gender or sexual binaries. It has different meanings in different communities.
And when they said, well, we should have a conference similar to how we formed GEI. Let's bring in people around the country and let's have a discussion. So in 92, we were invited, 93, we were invited to the national conference. And in that room, there must have been about 25 Two-Spirit leaders from all the four directions there. And when we introduced it, was voted to accept that name to replace Spirdosh to Two-Spirit.
Hi, everyone. My name is Charlie Amaya Scott. I am of the Zuni Water Edge Clan, born for the Honeycomb Rock of the Cliff Dwellers Clan. My maternal grandparents are the Salt People Clan, and my paternal grandparents are the Hopi Sun Clan. I am from Chinle, Arizona, and in my language, my positionality is one who is constantly transforming and changing. You probably know me commonly as Diné Aesthetics, which is what I use as a sort of description for my social media platform, in which I pretty much have the intention to inspire joy and justice with a focus on solidarity amongst Black, Indigenous, and people of color, while also centering the voices and experiences of Black, Indigenous, queer, and trans folks. I grew up knowing who I was culturally. I was born and raised to be Diné or Navajo, but I was not allowed to be queer. And I just want to remind the Indigenous LGBTQ plus community that you come from legacies of resilience and resistance. A gentle reminder that being Two-Spirit is not synonymous with being queer and or trans. Always be critical of the pink washing of settler nation states and their selective history. Have a beautiful day. So I do want to preface that I am no way identify as Two-Spirit, yet I also recognize that there's a lot of power with claiming, one, that positionality, but also that phrase for oneself. From conversations with so many of them, I have learned that, one, Two-Spirit is not necessarily synonymous with being queer and or trans. And I think that's important to recognize, because I think oftentimes we use very Eurocentric understandings of gender and sexuality and try to force them onto the identities and positionalities of our ancestors. This is where we get to this unfortunate event of the American Indian boarding school systems. One aspect of that is that in these schools, they really did enforce gender roles onto us that were very foreign to us. And they did so in so many violent ways that we're still trying to understand and sort of disrupt and reclaim existences denied to us because of like what happened in those boarding schools.
That was Charlie and Maya Scott. You've been listening to them and Randy Burns talk about what it means to be Indigenous, LGBTQ+, and Two-Spirit. Revealing your true self to the world can be scary for almost anyone. Now imagine what it would be like if you belonged to a community that survived colonization and conversion to a homophobic religion. What gives people that kind of courage? Their hope for a more inclusive future, for other Two-Spirit and LGBTQ+ people. Here's actor and poet Hannah Arthur.
My parents met an Indian Bible college. That's a double whammy. The institution mixed with a completely other institution. That's like the colonizer combo. Bam, bam. We had two vastly different ideas going on with that, with my parents meeting. My father was extremely urban. He grew up in Las Vegas. My mother grew up mostly on the Navajo Nation. I'm like being from nowhere and everywhere, represented by three different nations and not living anywhere near anywhere my people came from.
I get right to choose every reaction placed in my delicate hands. Life's nothing but trick plays, but I still make the decision. Decision of what? To make good on promises? To fall short in the moment of truth, regretting or overanalyzing? Where do I need to go?
Hello, my name is Hannah Najoni Arthur. To do my people right, I'm going to introduce myself traditionally. In Navajo. Yat e Hannah Arthur inchke, look adin enchlin, anathlane beshishin. Glizathlane deshache, anathlane deshanale. What I had said is that I belong to the Reed people of the Navajo Nation, and I'm born for the Lakota people from Rosebud Sioux area. And my mother's father, he's from the Many Goats clan of the Navajo people. And then my father's father, he is from the Wind River Reservation, the Northern Arapaho. I came out in 2018, understanding my sexuality. And just this year, I've been understanding my gender. So this is all very new to me. I grew up in a not so forgiving environment. I was raised Tea Party conservative in a Christian household. There wasn't much room for any kind of traditionalism. I'm extremely indigenous and I'm queer. And to think all these years that I was in a box of conservative and Christian mindset, my mother, ever strong and beautiful, a Diné woman, would pray over me, praying that I would be okay, that I would live up to my name. My name is Najoni. And yes, that is like the Kimberly or Ashley of Navajo girl names next to Shandine. But I tried to do right by my name. My name means beautiful. And beauty is the life way of the Navajo people. Najon Nasha. That is to walk in beauty. And holy cow, have I tried to walk in beauty, especially since coming out as a demisexual person, as a person who is a she, they. I think now that I have a grasp of my identity, I can better, I guess, announce myself to the world as an Indigenous person. I truly feel that I have reached the path I'm supposed to be on.
6, 7, 8, and 1. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
My name is Ben Alex Dupree. I'm from the Colville Indian Reservation in Washington State, where I grew up. I'm a member of the Entiat and Wenatchee bands and also the Sinaiix people. My father was Minikanju Lakota. He grew up in Cheyenne River. So I also have family roots back in South Dakota as well. I'm a filmmaker, a storyteller, producer of Indigenous content. Together.
Let's get ready to powwow! Okay.
My first film back in the entertainment space was a film called The Sweetheart Dancers, which featured Sean and Adrian, a two-spirit couple who had been competing on the powwow circuit and were turned away from participating in what was called the Sweetheart Dance Competition because at the time the rules had stated it must be a man and a woman, not a man and a man, or a woman or a woman.
My mom would always say, you're not dancing against dancers, you're dancing against the drum.
One of the things that led me to tell the story of Sean and Adrian in the Sweetheart Dancers was just growing up in a very powwow-centric community. You know, we had a real understanding that the powwow dance floor was for everyone.
You're dancing for grandma or grandpa who drove 8 hours just to watch you dance.
It was the one place where no matter what you believed as a Native person that you should be able to step in that arena and find a home.
It's about the experience.
It can be a confusing time for straight men to really look at the LGBTQ plus communities and the two-spirit movement and find a sense of understanding of how those politics and how that culture is changing America. And we see it in the secular cultures, but in Indian country, it's still considered a little taboo until most recently.
We all walk in. And we read the rules. And that's just like when my stomach just like dropped. A couple must consist of two people, one man, one woman. We kept getting family friends coming up to us asking us if we were still gonna do it.
It was encouraging.
It was encouraging, yeah. But deep down inside, it felt very like we had to hide. And we were hiding in a space that everybody knew who we were.
It was like you were hiding in plain sight.
We went into the story thinking that it would be controversial. Like, we knew that we were pointing fingers a little bit and saying, hey, you know, our elders might be askew. They might need a little updating. And that they might need to kind of rethink their positionality in the history of America and open their minds to this idea that our youth are hurting. You know, I have relatives, you know, that have struggled with this, and I have cousins who've been bullied, and I have family members who continue to feel like they're outcasts within their own communities. And that is not what the dance floor is for. The circle is for everyone. And so that's why we made Sweetheart Dancers, was to publicly open the dialogue and say, here are your people, here are our people, and why are you not there for them? And what can you do to be better?
We felt robbed. Why do we even
try so hard?
If your minds were already made up.
We've reached a point where a lot of people are comfortable, you know, sharing their pride and wearing the rainbows and the pins and the shirts and supporting the dancers that we do know. But I think there probably needs to be another step of activism in the space where we're actively engaging the powwow committees and the leadership that put on events to, you know, just reiterate that we need to see more representation on the dance floor. Make it very clear that everyone is welcome.
And I'd like to thank both of you here at this table, both you, Jarrett, and Avery. It's because of you guys that I was able to name myself. You guys had a talk. You interviewed a young doctor from the Navajo Nation. I was struggling with this identity, to name it. You know what it is, and it's not what you've been told you are. I know that I'm not a woman, but I'm not a man. I'm a they. But saying I'm two-spirit just didn't feel right. But because of that interview that you guys held, I got to name myself, because that doctor had the Navajo term. I wasn't blessed with being around my people to know my language. I learned from the internet. But because of that interview, I learned the term Notlean. And it felt so good, like hearing my name. I am Nejoni, and I am Notlean. Thank you for returning it to me.
Dang, give me a hug. I just love you.
In previous episodes of this podcast, we've heard about Natives relearning and remembering various aspects of what it means to be Indigenous, reclaiming parts of our culture and history that were erased by colonization. Likewise, LGBTQ+ and Two-Spirit Natives are looking for the acceptance and support of their communities as they reclaim their identities. And they have a message for those communities, including kids who may just be getting to know themselves.
At the Pride Parade was a cute story. So this little girl comes around the table, and she's got Shirley Temple curls, little thick glasses, and she's looking, she's picking up literature, and then she come around. I heard her say, Dad, and my sister was working the front booth, and she said, how much is this T-shirt? Real low voice. And my sister, $30. She didn't look back since he was asking, right? So I looked at the dad. I said, no. I said, where do you go to school at? And where are you from? Nixon. I go to elementary school, middle school. And, you know, she's sitting there. And she kept looking at that T-shirt. And I said, no, Daddy, I'll just give you a discount. I gave her a big discount. I said, when you wear this T-shirt, the T-shirt I'm wearing today, always be proud of yourself and ignore bullies. They're around every corner. You know, I'm hoping and praying that the younger gay and lesbian Native people, be it that little girl I talked about earlier, go on to be successful and also to learn to appreciate what you are given. There are people, the trailblazer laid the path. Now, you don't take that for granted.
Prioritize your safety. This world is unkind to many of us. And unfortunately, not every relative and friend or Native person is going to support and love you unconditionally. And I want you to survive, because I know that you will thrive. And lastly, like, share your truth when you are ready, when you feel supported, and when you are safe. Because, you know, change does not happen overnight, but I also want you to be safe when it happens.
You were born for a purpose, so walk with it. Walk with purpose. And for you, though, that are two-spirited, who are queer, I specifically say I'm so sorry that people don't accept you the way you should be. And just know that you are an absolute victory. The fact that you breathe air is a victory. When you wake up with the sun, it's a victory. When you lay your head to sleep at night, it's a victory. Your existence is the medicine we need to continue. Every Indigenous child that is brought into this world is the answer. We're still here. And because you exist, we will be here in the following years. Thank you for being alive. Thank you for being a part of our communities. I hear you, and I want to hear more from you. Yeah. Sheesh.
You've been listening to Native Nevada, KNPR's podcast about the Indigenous peoples of the region now known as the U.S. state of Nevada. This production is made possible by a grant from the San Manuel Band of Mission Indians. This episode of Native Nevada was produced by Jarrett Work and Avery Wyatt. Additional producers are Heidi Kaiser and Joe Shaneman. Sound design is by Regina Revazova of Open Conversation. Some music in this episode is courtesy of Epidemic Sound. You can find more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Richard Boland. Thank you for listening.